time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Baba Yakubu
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, TUC justifies decision to call off nationwide strike and demonstration. Government procures ferry to facilitate transportation when rehabilitation works start on Adomi Bridge. Ghana Education Service criticized for shifting attention from core mandate to money and procedural issues. Health practitioners, particularly nurses, challenged to work with utmost passion and love. 21 Middle East nations make joint efforts to eradicate polio, and US and France provide $20 million support for victims of Philippines typhoon. But first, the summary by Jonathan.
The TUC has been vindicated, contrary to reports from disgruntled union groups that the TUC Secretary General betrayed them by taking a unilateral decision to call off the impending nationwide strike and demonstration. The Deputy Secretary General of the TUC, Dr. Yao Ba, told Radio Ghana that all representatives of the labor unions took part in the meeting where the decision was taken, except the GMA. Dr. Ba said it is unfortunate the feedback mechanism is breaking down. Government is procuring a ferry to forestall any inconveniences when rehabilitation work starts on the Adomi Bridge. A Deputy Information and Media Relations Minister, Felix Kwachi Fosu, who said this at the Flagstaff House in Accra, stated that government has started a massive infrastructural development throughout the country. He outlined some major roads that are under construction and those yet to start. The Ghana Education Service has been criticized for shifting attention from its core mandate of ensuring quality education to money and procedural issues. At a conference in Accra, the president of the National Council of Parent Teacher Associations, Alexander Danso, said government should tackle the corruption in the GES by effectively empowering PTAs and decoupling them from direct GES financial and administrative controls. Health practitioners, particularly nurses, have been challenged to work with utmost passion and love. The chief nursing officer at the Ministry of Health, George Kumichreme, said this at the graduation ceremony of Healthcare Certificates 1 and Clinical Health Assistance of Health Concerned Ghana Nursing Institute in Accra. He advised the nurses to be conscious due to the recent nurse-patient relationship, which has come under public scrutiny. 21 nations in the Middle East and nearby regions have made the eradication of polio an emergency priority. They have also recognized that Pakistan is a key part of the problem. The nations who are part of the UN Health Agency's Eastern Mediterranean region have therefore called on Pakistan to urgently vaccinate all its children to prevent the virus from spreading internationally. And victims of the Philippines typhoon are receiving aid from the US and France. Reports say the U.S. has pledged $20 million support while France is supporting them with medical aid. Two trucks are said to be distributing 15 kilos of rice and hygiene needs to victims.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information. The decision by the TUC to call off the impending organized labor's national strike against the hike in electricity utility tariffs as a result of the government's resolve to absorb 25% of the electricity tariff continued to cause a stir on the labor front. Some organized labor groups have accused the TUC of taking a unilateral decision to call off the strike scheduled for the 18th of this month without consulting them. One of the labor unions which is against the latest decision by the TUC is the Judicial Service Staff Association of Ghana, JUSAG. Its national chairman, Francis Brakwa, told Behind the News last night that the association will need to decide on the next move.
From day one, JUSAG as a body has been part of the decision to go on the strike on the 18th. Now, if for anything else, if the government has come out to reduce this, I mean, make it some reduction, I think it was just fair and prudent to have gathered all the unions which took that decision. So for the TUC, as it were, to take that hasty and unilateral decision, we think it's not in the right direction at all.
So in effect, you share with those who have raised concerns that organized labor should at least have put in place measures to monitor the commitment of the government's pledge before deciding to suspend the strike.
Precisely. That's why we are saying that the decision was hasty. Right.
Well, we also know some of the labor unions, they have given the indication that they will still embark on the national strike irrespective of the TUC's decision. What is JUSAC's position on the issue?
Well, in as much as we are not comfortable with the stand taken by TUC, I think it will not just be, fair to us to say that we will go ahead, right? We are yet, as a JUSAC, we are yet to meet on that, to take a decision. So for now, I cannot say anything.
National Chairman of JUSAC, Francis Brakwa, in response, the Deputy Secretary General of the TUC, Dr. Yauba, denied the accusations. He said the TUC consulted the other labor unions, which gave the mandate to accept the 25% subsidy by government.
I'm saying this to you that we consulted, we had a meeting on Wednesday last week, and the Secretary General explained that Ghana Chamber of Mines, the Ghana Employers Association, Association of Ghana Industries, have put up a proposal. The government has shown that the government has gone to consult. So they have also asked us to consult our members. And at that time, we had a mandate to go and accept that 60%, which later we managed to get it down to 69%. So it is not correct for anybody to say that we did not consult on the 60%. Probably they didn't get their feedback.
So if I understood you clearly, there was a meeting.
There was a meeting on Wednesday last week.
And there were consultations and JUSAC members were there.
Definitely. We consulted and we got the mandate to go and accept it, which became 59. So what people are talking about is that after they gave us the mandate to go and accept the system, for the which is now 59, we communicated this to the stakeholders, and I mean government, Ghana Employees Association, and the business association. So government came up with the community that they have accepted the reduction and they are going to implement it and subsidize by 400 million. That came on Sunday. What people are pissed about, my understanding, after I've spoken to ICU leadership and I've spoken to the Magistrate Council of Labour, having got through to Ghana Medical, and now surprisingly I'm hearing that is also making this. What didn't happen, which we admit, is that after the government issued a community, the Secretary General issued a statement saying that we welcome community. And remember that when we gave that ultimatum, the Sunday ultimatum, which now later we declare the strike on 18. He did it conditionally. He said that if government does not do anything, we'll go on strike. And before the strike, we'll embark on demonstrations across the country. It therefore goes without saying that when government has done something, strike cannot come up.
Deputy Secretary General of the TUC, Dr. Yauba. In his contribution, a labor and mediation practitioner, Ben Afa, cautioned the aggrieved labor unions to let reason prevail. He said this is because taking entrenched positions has a propensity of breaking the bargaining power of organized labor in the future.
What it means is that people will begin not to trust their representatives on other markets of similar nature. You see, people will begin to question, we have asked you to represent us, and this is our agreement. This is what we are going to go to the negotiation table with. Why did you agree to this? Why didn't you agree to what we had all decided? So it can also raise confidence in leadership of you in negotiating on behalf of labor unions. Another dimension is that it will begin to affect collective bargaining powers of the union, whether at any point in time, they should allow the Congress. You might experience a situation where one labor union will give itself from PUC or will take itself from the umbrella of.
But then some of the labor unions have accused the TUC of taking a unilateral decision. How should organized labor have responded to government's decision?
A little bit of a problem when it comes to negotiating with organized bodies. One thing that we experience in this country when it comes to negotiating with a labor organization is that they most often get to the negotiation table already decided as to what to accept and what not to accept. So definitely when the representative gets on the table, there is one ingredient which is key in negotiation, which is almost always missing. We call it authority. What it means is that whatever their representative had agreed on before attending that meeting, they cannot negotiate and say that, well, we are softening our stance or we are shifting or compromising. Hence, the unions utilize their own constitution and the way representatives are mandated to negotiate.
There was a labor and mediation practitioner, Ben Arthur.
The United Carters Front, UCF, through its national leadership, is re-strategizing and rebranding itself to take its rightful place in the scheme of running and managing the NDC party. This is to eradicate corruption and ensure that the current government succeeds. The national chairman of the United Carters Front, Kofi Akins, stated this at the Greater Accra Regional Congress of the group, a report by Mary Atule and Sylvia Ajomeni.
The United Carters Front is the genesis and backbone of the NDC party, and they stand for probity, accountability, equity and justice within the party and the country at large. The national chairman, Kofi Akins, said because the Carters have not been active for some time now, it has led to some alleged corruption cases, saying the time has come for them to take up the mantle and ensure that the NDC government succeeds. He said the time has come for Carters to put monetary consideration aside and ensure that corruption is eradicated. Mr. Akins stated that the issues of corruption and looting should remain enemies to their cause.
Monetary is becoming a big problem in the organization now of the party politics. Everybody needs money, and that is accounting for these all sorts of tricks, methods are being used just to get money. They get a call, we are not put together because we want to send some money, that's all. No. And we think that it's time to reintroduce that, because if you want to follow money, it will fail. Not everybody have the money. You can't buy everybody. All of them cannot be big men. He said many were called, few are choose. The leadership will pick some people in his view that they think they can do the job based on your qualifications, your ability, that kind of thing. But if you are lucky to get the office, you don't abuse that office. Must account to those who you are representing effectively. Not you are the most beautiful person or the most qualified person. No, there are more brain, better brain around. Maybe by virtue of luck you have it. So you own the duty to do the best.
The General Secretary of the United Carters Front, FNAM Inyaku, suggested that the ruling party should establish complaints units throughout the country to welcome grievances from the ordinary Ghanaian. Citing the Jida incident, Mr. Inyaku said those found culpable in the Jida scandal should be punished.
If indeed there was that level of corruption at Jida, then all those who were culpable must be sanctioned to serve as a deterrent to others. Because corruption inside high places where people must know better and where people must have the interests of the nation at heart should not be countenanced in the least.
He appealed to government to involve Carters in boards and committees, inviting ministers and other executives.
The Kedar Corps has a store of knowledge on who actually belongs to the party, who has the idiosyncrasies of the party at heart, and who knows the direction of the party. And that is why we are calling for the president to consider the idea of how having cadres on boards or on committees that vet people.
He urged the Carters to organize the Young Carters League to take over from them in future.
A report by Mary Atule and Sylvia Ajomeni. Members of the Ashaiman Municipal Assembly have confirmed the president's nominee, Ibrahim Bedu, as municipal chief executive in their second round of voting yesterday. In an election supervised by the Electoral Commission, Mr. Bedu polled 17 out of the 25 votes cast, representing 68%, with 7 members voting against and 1 rejected ballot. In the first election held on the 6th of this month, Mr. Bedu failed to obtain the required 2/3 majority to secure his victory. He polled 14 out of the 25 votes cast. In a speech, Mr. Bedu assured the people of Ashaiman of his resolve to lead an open-door administration to facilitate the development of the town. The Greater Accra Regional Minister, Julius Debra, commended the Assembly members for confirming the President's nominee and assured them of government support.
Government is procuring a ferry in the Netherlands for the Lower Volta River when rehabilitation works start on the Adomi Bridge. Speaking at the daily press briefing at Flagstaff House in Accra, Deputy Information and Media Relations Minister Phyllis Kwachi-Fosu said the government has embarked on massive infrastructure development throughout the country, and the maintenance of the Adomi Bridge would link the southeastern part of the country to the Volta and northern parts of the country. He said major roads such as the Tetekwashi Madina, Manida Madina Pantang, Achimota Ofanko and Awoshipukwasi roads are almost completed. In the Volta region, he said, the Ketekwashi Buya Oti Damanku, Hovume and Aflaodeni roads are almost completed, while work on the Wabulinga, Wadoimon and Nadolijira Palora Hamili Road in the Upper West region is ongoing. The Deputy Minister said Navrongo, Bongo and Tungo roads in the Upper East region are in progress, while the Nsawom Ibri, Nsawom Apija and Eninam Konongo roads in the Eastern region are almost completed.
The rehabilitation of the Ashoma, Hachu and Abuba Estate roads is also ongoing. The Pramfram, Anyaman road. And then there is the Ashama Ubi road. Of course, based on this, there are other road projects that are in the pipeline. Also, the Hohoi Town roads have been finished. The Ketekwashi Buya road phases 1 and 2 have also been completed. The Hofume road is nearing completion. The Pando Rara Dambai road phase 3, that's 70 kilometers in length, is also nearing completion. It's at 82% completion rate as of October. Then there's the Michitasa Habaji road, which is also seeing some work. And the Golokwati Uli Hohoi road is 90% complete. Of course, the Sukuma Junction to Pebe road is also seeing some construction and work is progressing as steadily. Similar situations exist in the central, western, northern, and upper east and upper west regions. Up north, the Bupe Tamani road is 75% through. That's of October. It was 75% through. The reconstruction of the Fufosu Solar Road is also going on steadily. The first section, that is the Fufosu Larabanga section, is 43% through as of October. And then the Larabanga to Solar section is also 37% complete.
That was the Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations, Felix Kwachi Fosu. He said the loan from the Chinese Development Bank will be used for the expansion of the Accra Temo motorway into a six-lane highway.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra, the major stories. TUC justifies decision to call off nationwide strike and demonstration. Government procures ferry to facilitate transportation when rehabilitation work starts on Adomi Bridge. Ghana Education Service criticized for shifting attention from core mandate to money and procedural issues. Health practitioners, particularly nurses, challenged to work with utmost passion and love. 21 Middle East nations make joint efforts to eradicate polio, and U.S. and France provide $20 million support for victims of Philippines typhoon.
Radio Ghana, leading the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. The National Council of Parent Teacher Associations has bemoaned the increasing shift of attention by the Ghana Education Service from its core mandate of ensuring quality education to money and procedural issues. It is therefore calling on government to tackle the corruption and systematic laxity in the GES governance and regulatory machinery. The council said government can do this by effectively empowering PTAs and decoupling them from direct GES financial and administrative controls. The president of the association, Alexander Danso, said this at a news conference in Accra. Rita Nyako reports.
Mr. Danso said globally, PTAs are a prime source of educational funding. In Ghana, PTA funds are regular and flexible, but questions always arise as to their justification, effective use, management and accountability. Mr. Danso noted that attempts over the years to officially regulate PTA levies from the top and the lack of financial discipline has led to some heads of schools taking control of the PTA funds. He said the National Council of Parent Teacher Association is determined to upgrade the level and quality of engagement of parents and communities in the pursuit of education reforms. Mr. Danso asked the GES to focus solely on delivering effective teaching and learning in schools, noting that the association will not accept non-performance by their wards while teachers and their supervisors remain at post. Government should also ensure that PTAs become democratic units and actively contribute to the education process.
Ritanyako reporting.
Health practitioners, especially nurses, have been challenged to discharge their duties with the utmost passion, love and integrity. This is important in view of the nurse-patient relationship, which has come under public scrutiny in recent times. The Chief Nursing Officer at the Ministry of Health, George Kumitrami, threw the challenge at health practitioners at the graduation ceremony of Healthcare Certificate 1 and Clinical Health Assistance of Health Concerned Ghana Nursing Institute in Accra. Mr. Tremi said the bad attitude of nurses go a long way to affect the provision of health care negatively.
An 11-member advisory board has been inaugurated by the Minister of Chieftaincy and Traditional Affairs in Accra. Its key function is to advise the minister and oversee the effective formulation of policies and efficient management of the ministry. The Minister of Chieftaincy and Traditional Affairs, Dr. Seydou Dana, who inaugurated it, said the vision of the ministry is to preserve, sustain and integrate traditional values and practices to accelerate wealth creation and national development.
The MP for Takoradi, Orchid Akumensa, has accused the Metropolitan Chief Executive of the area for masterminding the arrest of 10 people working at the site of a library project being funded by the MP. He said the land under contention is public land, which was sold by a former regional director of education. Mr. Akumensa, in an interview with Radio Ghana, said he will meet officials of the Ministry of Education and President Mahama over the issue since the MCE has been compromised.
It's true. They arrested 10 people who were working on the site at that time. And were informed by the police that the instruction was given by the Metro Chief Executive. And basically, the land in question belongs to the state. It belongs to the Ghana Education Service, which was released to me by the Metro Director of Education to build a library. Unfortunately, not knowing that the former regional director of education has single-handedly sold it to somebody, and the chief executive is protecting that person. So that's what has happened. And we still won't allow it to happen. We will continue to do our work.
You said the former education director?
Regional, that sold it. He's the person who sold it.
To who?
He sold it to Akoma Plaza and the family. And this is a land in an educational enclave where everybody knows that this land belongs to Ghana Education Service for educational purposes. So it's a public land for public purposes.
So as of now, those arrested, where are they?
Right now, there are police there, and the regional police commander says, as we hold on, we have to clarify some few issues, and then we can move on to do our work from there. And what we are on is a land for public purpose, and therefore we are not going to release it to anybody. And Takoradi, we don't have a library now. As I speak to you, Takoradi Constituency, we don't have a library.
So these people working on the site, how long have they been working?
So they've been working for the last more than 1 week.
But were you able to get in touch with the Takoradi NC?
He's the person protecting them, and that's what we don't understand. The first thing is that we didn't have a permit. And we're experiencing that's a lie, because the military engineer cannot write a letter to himself. In the same way, when the military engineer is also working for him, he cannot write a letter to himself as military chief executive. So where is the issue coming from? Initially, he said that he was only doing his work. But the person who was going to do the complaint was the people they sold the land to. So you ask yourself whether the chief executive himself has not been compromised.
You are the MP for the area. Are you the one who is funding the building of the library?
Yes, I'm the one funding the library.
So what is your next line of action once these people are still in the hands of the police?
Oh, I believe that after them, we'll give them time to cool off. We are also coming to Accra to meet the Minister of Education and possibly the President and tell him what is happening in Accra, that people can use their office to steal public land. This is not a land that there's a government directive or a government policy that it needs to be sold. That's not at all.
The MP for Takoradi, Orchid Akumensa.
In a related development, the Metropolitan Chief Executive Captain Anthony Kudu expressed shock and denied any involvement in the arrest of the people. He told Radio Ghana that he's not against development, but the MP did not follow due process before putting up the library. He therefore advised Mr. Akumensa to go to the Lands Commission to acquire the necessary permit.
Foundation whatsoever. What is the basis of his accusation? Is it because he's an MP you think he can just get up and make allegations against people without any evidence? I got to know of an arrest when he was on air making similar claims. I have never been aware of any move by my office to go and arrest anybody. And I don't think any arrest was effected through my office. It cannot be true. But I would like to use your airways to advise him to stop this kind of maligning people without evidence. This is a slur on my reputation. I don't want him to continue this, so please advise him.
Okay, but Honorable, are you aware of the people working on the site of a library?
Look, in the first place, what library is he building? You see, all his claim of building a library, in my view, is an attempt to fan discontent against me or to create a situation where people might think that, oh, this is something very good, but the MCE is against it. That is far from the truth. He says he's building a library. First of all, the condition for bringing any development or developing any piece of land is fundamental. First of all, you have to show proof of possession or ownership of the land. When you come to the SPMA, which you are required by regulation and bylaws and the law, to come to the local or district authority for permission to develop a piece of land.
The MCE for Takoradi, Captain Anthony Kujo.
An Accra Circuit Court has sentenced a young Baba famous cutter to 7 years in prison with hard labor for defiling an underage girl. Cutter, who owns a barbering shop at Brigade near Weja in Accra, pleaded guilty to defilement. He was convicted and sentenced on his own plea. The court, presided over by Sedina Agbemeva, handed a minimum sentence because Cutter was truthful to the court and did not waste the resources and time of the court when he appeared before it. According to Chief Inspector Veronica Rexiofair, on the 3rd of this month, Carter invited the victim to his shop under the pretext of showing her the place so she may patronize at any time. The victim, a 13-year-old student and domestic help who was running errands for her benefactress, honored the invitation because Carter was a friend. Carter engaged his victim in a conversation and later entertained her with movies till about 10:30 p.m. when he succeeded in having sexual intercourse with her. Carter kept the underage girl locked in his shop until the following day. The victim narrated her ordeal when interrogated by her madam. A report was lodged with the police and Carter was arrested. He confessed to the offense, claiming he was seduced by the 13-year-old girl.
Now the foreign front. About 21 nations in the Middle East and nearby regions have jointly made the eradication of polio an emergency priority. They recognize that Pakistan is a key part of the problem. The joint resolution by nations who are part of the UN Health Agency's Eastern Mediterranean region has called on Pakistan to urgently vaccinate all its children to prevent the virus from spreading internationally. Pakistan also approved the resolution.
Victims of the Philippines typhoon are receiving aid from the U.S. and France. Reports say the U.S. has pledged $20 million support, while France is supporting them with medical aid. Two trucks are said to be distributing 15 kilos of rice and hygiene needs to victims. Meanwhile, a U.S. craft carrier has and its escort of two cruisers are due to arrive in the Philippines today to help communities devastated by Typhoon Haiyan. The aircraft will provide search and rescue operations and offer a platform for helicopters to move supplies. The top U.S. commander in the Philippines says U.S. military support would be on an unprecedented scale.
Meanwhile, gunfire has forced the cancellation of a mass burial in the typhoon ravaged Philippines as anger among survivors and the slow trickle of aid turned deadly. Attempts to bury some of the victims of Super Typhoon Haiyan suffered a setback when gunshots halted a convoy traveling towards a communal grave.
And in football, defending league champion Kumasi Asante Kotoko returned to winning ways after thrashing King Faisal 3-0 in yesterday's midweek round of matches at the Babara Sports Stadium. An own goal by King Faisal defender Pius Bafo in the 48th minute gave the Porcupine Warriors the lead before striker Seydou Bansi increased the tally through a spot kick after Yaya Mohamed was failed in the penalty box. Seydou Bansi got his second goal of the game in the 62nd minute to seal victory for the league leaders. Elsewhere at the Robert Mensah Stadium in Cape Coast, Kabiru Moro scored a decisive goal for Midiama to defeat title contenders Accra Hato Folk by a goal to nil. Tema Bay's Inter Allies also recorded their third win of the season by coasting 2-0 to Ashanti Gold at the Tema Stadium. Here are results of other matches played. Edubiasi United 4, Amidals Professionals 0, Hazakas 3, Liberty Professionals 0, Ibiana Stars 3, Ibuzia Dwarfs 0, Bechen United 3, Heart of Lions 2, All Stars 0, Brekum FC 0. In all, 20 goals were recorded in the day 12 of the Ghana National Premier League.
And now to end the news, the main points again. The TUC has been vindicated, contrary to reports from disgruntled union groups, that the TUC Secretary General betrayed them by taking a unilateral decision to call off the impending nationwide strike and demonstration. Government is procuring a ferry to forestall any inconveniences when rehabilitation work starts on the Adomi Bridge, and victims of the Philippines typhoon are receiving aid from the U.S. and France. Reports say the U.S. has pledged $20 million support, while France is supporting them with medical aid. The news was presented by Baba Yakubu
and Jonathan Thompson in Accra.